really digging into some really bad theology next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principles and Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaelis.
It's always both enlightening and sometimes frightening when we dig into these presuppositions and find people are just willing to do almost anything to make certain that their viewpoint has no taint of actual biblical thinking in it. And yet they call themselves reverend.
Well, and again, you hit on it. They call themselves reverend. Honestly, what we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, we're continuing on with our series based on an interview that Sean Hannity did on his radio program with Terrence Jeffrey of CNS News and the Reverend Oliver White. Now, Reverend White is kind of notorious because last year he came out very strong in favor of same-sex marriage, even going so far as to say that the Bible condones it and supports it. Well, that didn't set well, namely because, number one, the Bible does not do that.
No.
But it didn't set well with his congregation, which, honestly, Chuck, I'm surprised because he's the pastor of a United Church of Christ, which is probably the most liberal Protestant denomination in America. But even then, you had members of his congregation who realized that the good reverend had gone off of his rocker, and he lost his church. They had a very significant issue that went on with that, and he found himself out of a pulpit. Well, I don't think that's problematic, and I'd have to say that God can work miracles even through the UCC.
Well, I think, unfortunately, he has been called to another pulpit. That's the unfortunate part. I mean, I don't begrudge the man to make a living, but if he wants to play reverend, he needs to pull out of something called the Christian church and form something new. Because,
yeah, but you know what, though, Chuck? P.T. Barnum said it well. There's one born every minute.
Oh.
and sometimes they form congregations.
Well, that's right.
And sometimes they don't have the discernment level of a goose, and they pick a man like the Reverend White
right.
to come in and basically be a wolf in the sheepfold.
Well, they want desperately to be a accepting and affirming church, and we have many of those in our area, unfortunately. I've been to get into this, would you bar homosexuals from attending your church? And the answer is no, of course not. If anybody's truly seeking God and they have an issue, I wouldn't turn away someone who was repenting of their adultery.
Of course not.
Someone who was repenting of the fact that they were a thief. Someone who was repenting of the fact that they were a liar.
Yeah, but you changed the word repent to revel.
Revel.
And that's exactly what these kind of quote-unquote churches, that's their stock and trade.
Exactly.
If you are embracing, celebrating, and reveling in your particular sin, come on in.
I'm not talking about people who are fighting it and occasionally fall.
Right.
Gosh, name somebody who doesn't
struggle with a particular sin issue that doesn't get tempted and possibly fall every
occasionally.
Time.
I mean, it's so unrealistic to believe that you can live a completely sinless life.
Well, that's asceticism.
And I have been in denominations that taught that you could live a sinless existence. And then I remember asking, well, what's Jesus for then?
That's a good question to ask in that particular instance.
And the answer is, he is our guiding light in that case, but we can live the sinless life. Well, that's not what Reverend White is talking about. He's talking about accepting adulterers. He's talking about those who openly practice those things. He's talking about accepting them and bringing them into the church, probably into church leadership, affirming that what they're doing is perfectly normal. We know that he's doing this because earlier in this interview, he talked about those who have premarital sex. Are we really saying that's wrong? The 99% of us have done the wrong thing. I don't know where he got his statistics on that.
Now, let me guess. He's in the 1%.
Yeah.
I'd almost lay down odds that he considers himself to be in the 1%.
Want to bet?
Well, maybe not.
No, we don't want to make statements of affirmity on that particular thing, but we don't know. But the fact is, he has basically stamped it as okay, because after all, that was written in the Bronze Age.
Yeah, of course.
Now, what we're finding out is that this is not Christian theology by any stretch of the imagination. And I'm really glad that Hannity had on Terry Jeffrey to talk about this, because I'll be quite honest, I don't think Hannity's got the theological to go head-to-head with this guy.
That's true. I think you're absolutely right on that. But Jeffrey obviously knows his stuff, and he draws out Reverend White on where he truly believes, and that's what we're going to go to next, because we're going to continue on with this audio that we've got from this
right.
interview.
You believe that God intended there to be same-sex marriage?
By all means, yes.
How did you discover that God created that right?
I evolved. I evolved into it. I evolved into it by assimilating and accommodating with people who are wonderful.
Oh, okay. I got to stop right there. He evolved into it, Chuck, which means that he's a Darwinist. Part of his presupposition is that man's... Didn't I tell you this whole idea of the progressives that man is perfecting himself?
Yes.
He's getting better and better. And so is the Reverend White. He's evolving. How's he evolving? He's not looking at God's word and having it change his heart and bringing him closer to God. He's surrounding himself with those people who are more, shall we say, open-minded, that are more affirming. And I forgot exactly the phrase he used, but these magnificent people.
These fine people. Well, I'll be quite honest. I've worked with practicing homosexuals who were fine people, and I've worked with supposedly Christians who were lousy people. So that's really not the way to do this. Most of the Christians I know have been fine people, and some of the homosexuals I've known have also been fine people. That's not the way you judge this issue. You deal with it from a constant, unchanging law.
That's exactly right.
And what we're hearing is that basically, Barry, what we've said all along, and from what we're hearing from people like Tim Keller and those kinds of things, Genesis matters.
Yes. The first 11 chapters of Genesis basically will either define your worldview or define what your worldview isn't.
Exactly. And the fact is that basically Reverend White has rejected the first 11 chapters of Genesis as anything like factual.
Of course. It's literary, Chuck. It's allegory or analogy or hyperbole or myth. It can't be true.
The fact is that
not him carrying the thought he's carrying.
He was asked directly where he got it from the Bible.
And did I tell you in yesterday's program, I said, if you ask them a direct question about Scripture and they go to anything else, it means they don't have any Scripture
to back
it up with.
They have none.
By all means, yes.
How did you discover that God created that right?
I evolved into it by assimilating and accommodating with people who are wonderful.
Do you disagree as a Christian minister with what is described as marriage in Genesis and what Jesus himself described as marriage? Do you disagree with that?
Well, yes, I do, because I think that the book of Genesis is not necessarily...
As a Christian minister, do you disagree with Jesus on marriage?
Right, say that again, please.
Well, Jesus, as you know, in the Gospels, said that a man and a woman should come together in marriage and be as one flesh. He personally, Jesus, our Christian Savior, defined marriage as a man and a woman. Do you disagree with the way that Jesus Christ defined marriage in the Gospels?
I don't disagree with Jesus Christ, but what I do say that if Jesus were alive today, I think that he would be more inclined to say, you know, I didn't know it all.
You believe that Jesus Christ did not know it all about marriage and that he would change his mind if he lived in the United States today?
By all means.
Wow.
Yeah, I got to echo Hannity. Wow.
Yeah, wow.
Well, I'm not going to go against Jesus Christ. I'm just going to say that I know full well that if he were walking the earth today, he'd have been totally different. He would have changed his mind on everything, Chuck. This is the progressive liberal theology that is rottening our culture.
There is a theological view, and it is held by some people who call themselves conservatives, and that is open theism.
Yes.
And that is the idea that God does not know everything going in when he created. He did not know for sure what his plan was, what was going to happen. He had a general idea, but he didn't know for sure. He basically runs around reacting to the things that we do, which of course makes us the autonomous figure and makes God completely dependent upon what we do. In other words, he's a giant cosmic genie who goes around, or maybe a cosmic janitor who goes around the universe cleaning up our mess.
So just remember, if you really want to say that you're a Christian minister, but you don't want to be bound by the Bible, you can just say, well, if Jesus were alive today, he'd embrace all this stuff that we're embracing, because instead of us being more like him, he needs to be more like us.
What's the deeper presupposition here, though, Barry? Let's go down a layer or two. Let's go down a layer or two about what this means. What this means is that Christ was not omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent.
Which means he wasn't God.
Exactly.
And he wasn't the Son of God. He was just a great philosopher, but he got it wrong on this issue because we've evolved, according to the Reverend White, because we've evolved, we're smarter than Jesus.
Yeah, that's right. So what we've got here is what is at the core of all liberal theology, and that is Gnosticism, again.
Yeah.
We've talked about Gnosticism. We've talked about liberalism. Now we've talked about Unitarianism. Everything all rolled into one is what you're getting out of Reverend White. He is giving you the quintessential presentation of liberal Unitarian theology, which isn't theology at all. Jesus Christ was a great teacher, but humanism. He didn't know everything.
It's humanism.
It's humanism.
Which is theology, though. So it is theology, but it's just not Christian theology.
Yes. So what we're getting at, folks, is this is the thing that is driving the attempts in your church, in your churches, mm-hmm. to make homosexuality acceptable.
Exactly. Because once you can get somebody off of Scripture and the absolute truth of God's Word, you can take them just about anywhere. That's the reason why oftentimes, Chuck, we've done this in the past where we get frustrated at quote-unquote Christian apologists who get into debates with secularists and atheists and others, and the first thing they do is cede Scripture. Yeah. Oh, I won't use the Bible. Why not? It's the best tool we've got. It's the absolute true, inerrant, infallible Word of God, which is applicable regardless of whether you believe it or not. But to say, well, I'm smart enough. I don't have to go back to the written word of God. I can debate you in your humanistic theology with my absence of my own Christian theology. And how do they try to do that? By using natural law.
Natural law. And that's the problem with the natural law argument, because you can claim that any number of things go back to natural law when in fact they don't. Because that is not the law God wrote on men's hearts. That is the law that they wish God wrote on their hearts. And this is what's wrong with natural law thinking. I want to go just real quick before we finish this up. How does this manifest itself in other ways besides homosexual marriage? Well, I'm sure you've heard, Barry, that the governor of Colorado just signed a law. This is right after they took away the God-given right to protect yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They also said, well, we're going to go completely kind of oddball, opposite libertarian, and we're going to legalize adultery. The governor of Colorado...
I missed that one.
The governor of Colorado just signed a law. By the way, he's getting a divorce.
Convenient that,
how convenient.
Isn't it?
He just signed a law that legalized adultery.
Okay. So does that mean that you can get benefits now for your... Oh, of course! You can get benefits now for your unmarried sexual partner!
I'm quite sure that that's going to follow real quickly. But this is the kind of thing, once you wipe away biblical standards, this is what happens. Apparently it was an old law that was on the books, rarely enforced, and they just got rid of it.
Christian ministry, you think that what Jesus said about marriage in the New Testament was wrong, and that Jesus himself would change it today?
Yes, because I believe that the Jesus who also said, love your neighbor as yourself, would not discriminate against a person on the basis of their sexual orientation.
Can it be an act of love to say that we ought not to have same-sex marriage? This is a violation, for example, of the right of a child to have a mother and a father. And maybe it's not even good for the people who are engaging in it. Could that not be an act of charity, true Christian charity?
I think it should be an act of choice. I think that a person, that children need a father and they need a mother. But if there happens not to be that combination, I also believe that same-sex couples can raise children, and they do.
Well, you just heard the machine rattle completely apart at the end of that mess. He had no rational argument left.
No, he didn't.
He had nothing. So the fact is that basically, yes, Jesus would do it based on love. Again, here we go with this love thing.
All you need is love. Yeah.
Is it a loving act to allow someone who is violating God's law to do it and not explain to him that he is doing that and he is going to place himself in jeopardy of his eternal soul?
No, it's not loving at all. As a matter of fact, Scripture in the Old Testament speaks out about that if you're put on watch, which we are as Christians, that if you don't warn somebody of their impending danger, that their blood is on your head. But if you warn them and they continue on, then it's all on them.
It's all in their basket. And unfortunately, we are out of time for today. We tore that one apart. It took us a whole week, but it needed to be done. I think we need to have people that think this way in order to combat these kind of inroads that are being made into cultural destruction.
Right. And the point is, ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to have a proper worldview, you need to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Not the Christ that you want him to be, as Reverend White is, but the Christ of the Scriptures.
The one that is. Join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.